some of the different discos regarding Hezekiah. So what we've seen so far is, like, broadly speaking, that we have three primary approaches, right? We're either, and again, there is some overlap, and the question is to assess the overlap. Again, we're running a little late, so let me just say it a little more quickly. The three, of course, being that either we're talking about, you know, a more obvious or literal Gira Didei. We still have to figure out whether we really need the masks, but I guess for today we'll continue with it. In which case, we're talking once you, you know, get past, you know, accepting that your eyes can really, you know, throw daggers at things or people. Ayin ra'a, and there is definitely such a concept, that is considered actual hezek, giri didei. We'll get back to it in just a minute. The other possibility being that we're talking about something much more economic and rational and measurable, and that is, again, there's a little bit of overlap here, given the discomfort, either pragmatic or maybe kedusha oriented, that people have with being completely exposed, that the challenge of ayin, that the challenge of hezek ra'iyah is one which affects either the quality of the of the venue, the location, or at least its value, or at least, inflicts, another way to look at it, and these are different, and there could be nafkamina, inflicts a kind of economic harm, on the, I guess we'll call him the victim, in that it forces him, right, to limit his use of his property. So again, that is less of a direct hezek, that's more of an indirect, obviously. It shares certain features with the first one in the sense that it's economic, that, again, you can understand that from a mazik point of view. It also shares some features with the third perspective, the one we are about to talk about a little more, the privacy part, in that, it has to do not so much with what the mazik is doing as the impact of his behavior, unfettered behavior, on the Nizak or on the Nizak's property. In that sense, there are aspects of this second approach that are more common with the first, and there are aspects that are more common with the third. But of course, again, just like the, just like in the first approach, we have to figure out, how literal to take it and whether or not the fact that it's a more of a kind of spiritual damage, however it works, and we'll still talk a little bit about that. But at the end of the day, does the fact that, is more, at minimum, as somebody asked me the other day, at minimum it sounds like hezek she'eino nikar, right? So, this idea that eina bisha, that ayin ra'a is kodeya. Of course, that depends on how you understand hezek she'eino nikar, which is a little bit part of the kilayim, question too. Does it mean, that as long as there's not a physical maisa nezek or maisa hezek or chetzeshel nezek, is that really what it means, or does it mean, something a little bit different? And we'll get back to that. But the point is that even, once you take the leap and you decide that, ayin ra'a being mazik beinayim, is something, does the fact that, typically, we consider this to be a more spiritual thing, or, that normally, ri'iyah is a davar shein b'mamish, and as I said, I wasn't just, citing Melitza b'alma, but in the world of halacha itself, in Me'ila, and in Suriana, things of that sort, call mare, v'reach, they really do have a different status. So you want to call it, in this case, hezek she'eino nikar, or things of that sort. So that, that compromise, there are several, in other words, elements. You have to buy into ayin ra'a, not just as some vague concept, but as a, as an economic concept. And then you also have to wonder whether or not, be'afal pichein, it isn't, just ein anikar or even more or different, you know, kind of vitiated, moderated, you know, by the chiddush that remains. The second perspective of the limited, you know, you're limiting even the value of or his use of, that, you know, that rests on kind of also a grumma or a garmi, you know, kind of, you're not directly, you know, impacting him, you are inhibiting him, you know, but in a, you know, in a kind of indirect way. And the question again, does that constitute, you know, hezek nikar, does that constitute garmi, is that just grumma? How does that fit in to the, you know, to that bigger picture? That's part of that question. Either way, as I said, that is less a maisa hezek and more, you know, a chepta shel nezek mitzad hanizak. And then the third perspective, which is, you know, quite different but overlaps, again, this idea of privacy and this idea that, and again, there are different ways to say it. You have no right to invade his property, to take away his privacy, or is it more the obligation to protect his, you know, privacy, you know, to project, you know, a certain kind of kiddusha environment, you know, structurally in the community. These are all part of that third approach, but they are, as you can see, I've just said them in slightly different ways. You know, that, you know, is the most distant from what we typically would call nezek. In other words, they're the idea of, you know, poshea kemazik, you know, example, or harchokas nezakin, where, you know, there's an amplification of the hezek or nezek, you know, by virtue of the, you know, the interaction or the ideal interaction, the obligatory interaction, you know, that, you know, that is the background of the relationship between these people, that plays an important role. And that, of course, you know, could be very different. Now, we have all three of these perspectives. Within each three, we've pointed out that there are obviously, you know, different ways to say them and different ways to apply them, different questions about them. I think we've established so far, at least in a broader way, that all of these three things exist. They're certainly, again, I think all of them are related to in the Ramban. Tzniusa, Einabisha, the restrictive use of property is something that Rishonim definitely talk about, and it's implied in some Gemaras. Again, we'll have to see, does that constitute a Mechayev Bifnei Atzmo, or might that just kind of be, you know, the economic bite, you know, that kind of makes more acute, you know, either the Giridi Day or the, you know, of Ayin Bisha or the privacy part. We'll get back to that. But there's no, you know, reasonable, there's no reason why we can't assume that all three of these are relevant on some level. And for that reason, when we talk about, you know, making distinctions either between locations or circumstances that govern the interaction, you know, between the parties, or in cases of, you know, whether it's a chazaka or a lack of mecha'a or a mechila, just to name those, you know, most obvious ones, like, you know, all those questions, like we're struggling, we're trying to figure out. You know, what's the difference between a beishar and a bayis and a gina and a bika and a chatzer? And we're trying to figure out, you know, whether or not, you know, mechila and chazaka, you know, whether these things apply or don't apply to, broadly speaking, hezekriya. There's mixed evidence in the Gemara seemingly about that. And certainly debates in the Rishonim, which we've touched on, but again, we have to, you know, delve into more carefully. You know, and as I say, circumstances also, we've talked about situations where you initiate architecturally, situations where the question is whether or not you're obligated to get rid of something, whether you can use something that exists. What about situations that start heter gomor, you know, then all of a sudden you find yourself in a circumstance, right, of hezekriya. You know, both in terms of the Shutfin, who dissolved their partnership, or in terms of the case that we spoke about, you know, the other day, the big discussion in Rishonim, which is you know, you do something originally, you open a window, when there's a barrier, and then the barrier falls down. So you did it to have terror. And so in all those different, these are all scenarios, and this, you know, we'll see that, of course, there are more. It doesn't make a difference in hezekriya whether or not, you know, you're doing two things at the same time, or you're doing something more directly or not. Meaning, does it matter whether or not the act, your viewing station is, you know, adjacent to, you know, the vulnerable location and venue, right? Or there's something that intervenes in between, maybe a lot that intervenes, whether it's distance or especially intervening other locations and venues. Like, let's say you have a chatzer, or you have a window that opens up to your chatzer, you know, which then opens, you know, which is adjacent to his chatzer. So your window isn't open to his chatzer, it's open to your own chatzer, right? Or to Rishus HaRabim. Or, you know, things of that sort. Does any of that ever matter? Right? There's conflicting evidence about that. We'll see a line in the Rimi Gash in a minute, but the Tshuva Sagonim about it. It depends, you know, how you understand certain things. Again, Rosh Hashanah is another great example, like the Gemara and Dabab the base, which we'll talk about more in a minute, right, where you have two houses on opposite sides of Rosh Hashanah, and there's Rosh Hashanah in the middle. And apparently there's no problem of Hezekriah, you know, to the Rosh Hashanah. And that's part of what the Gemara says, that that's a bigger Kiddush, but the Gemara doesn't say it's a bigger Kiddush because there's an intervening Rosh Hashanah for which there's Heter, or does it say that? I guess it depends how you read the Gemara. The Pashtus doesn't say that. Right? The Pashtus, it says that, well, you have to protect yourself against Rosh Hashanah, and therefore, you know, that same protective posture, you know, should just be extended to protect him, to protect yourself from your neighbor, or from your cross the thoroughfare neighbor. Okay, that itself is very interesting. And then the Gemara says, no, you know, the quantity and the quality of the protection is different, and therefore that's not true. But what was really the Havamina? The Havamina was, the Pashtus, the Havamina is, that, you know, if there's not a Tznius problem, not because there's not a Tznius problem, but because for other reasons, anyways, you need to protect yourself. So then, you know, the fact that you now have, you know, again, from Rosh Hashanah, there's no Rosh Hashanah is an amorphous, you know, category. So Rosh Hashanah doesn't have a responsibility to you. So then if there's also an individual dependent on, you know, that's not going to be the chayim. So the Pashtus is that the Gemara is saying this isn't a, you know, protection from Tznius problem, because you're already in a circumstance, you know, where you should be, you know, taking steps or constricting or limiting, you know, your behavior. But you could have read the Gemara in a different way, and that's essentially what the Rimi Gash. I'll read the line of the Rimi Gash in just a minute. But you know, you could have said, unless that's what the Gemara really, really means, she doesn't think so, that what the Gemara means is, well, if you, or at least as a Havamina, you know, since the adjacent, immediate, you know, problem, you know, relates to Rosh Hashanah, you know, and that's not actionable. So maybe, you know, beyond that boundary, you know, that's not hezekriya either. I mean, that physical proximity, right, is when you're defining whether something is hezekriya or not, right? You look at the, you know, the most proximate impact, and if that's innocuous, right, then you don't look beyond. Maybe that's what the Gemara was saying. The Gemara was saying, you know, not so much practice. Doesn't sound that way. Doesn't sound that way. Okay. But if that would be the case, then, you know, hu adin, maybe, if you're talking about, you know, it opens to my chatzer, and my chatzer opens to your chatzer. Okay. Unless you want to say, no, that, you know, still, that's very different. You know, opening to my chatzer is just all my property, so that's not considered an intervening rishus. But let's say Rishus HaRabim might have been, right? Or let's say there is a chazaka in hezekriya, And let's say, you know, the guy next to me, his private home, or his private chutz there, you know, is not a problem of hezek riya, because he's mocha, or there's a chazaka, or whatever the case may be, right? But the problem is that there's a problem, there's something beyond that border, right? Then the next property over, I can see into his rishos too, right? That certainly might be different than my own chatzer. It might even be different than rishos harabim, because maybe rishos harabim, right? Josh asked me the question after last year, that we were I was saying that, you know, when the poskim say that, you know, when Ruve, you know, that if there was hezek re'ia, you know, and then, you know, the circumstances change, you know, and now the hezek re'ia doesn't come from Ruve, it comes from Shimon, what's the difference at the end of the day? As long as there was no agreement between the parties, you know, what's the difference? And they're looking at it from a nizak point of view. And I was suggesting that, you know, it's not so pashut, because if you look at hezek re'ia not from the nizak standpoint exclusively, but also from the mazik standpoint, something which the Ramban points out as well, in terms of the Isur Histaklus, if that's the case, then, you know, maybe shiny v'shiny. Maybe the more people who are, you know, just because Shimon, you know, was given, you know, a pass, you know, in terms of Levi's hezek re'ia, that doesn't mean Reuven. So Josh asked me very, very correctly, so what about the Gemara's discussion of Rishus HaRabim? Like, why would we think that just because Rishus HaRabim can see him, you know, that that doesn't matter if you see him? So, of course, what I answered him very briefly was, Rishus HaRabim is not a person. You know, Rishus HaRabim, you know, is basically the tzibur. And therefore, it might just be different. And that, in general, is something to think about. It also may be true that, you know, when Rishus HaRabim invades your property, so that just creates the different reality in terms of, you know, how private your property, just magdir your property in a different way. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, there could be different, if we're talking about, you know, intervening Rishuyos, and whether that would make a difference, certainly your chatzer as opposed to, you know, Rishus HaRabim, as opposed to, you know, somebody else's chatzer, but where you have, you know, permission, all those could be different. But is there any issue at all, you know, again, of actual proximity as opposed to the effect of just, you know, the Nizak, whoever he is, being vulnerable? Like, in the end of the day, right, the person whose property, you know, is being, or whose privacy is being compromised, it doesn't matter to him, you know, that the Roeh, you know, is not next door to him, right? So, again, these are different makoros, different, you know, implications. The idea that there might be more than one aspect or more than one dimension, so basically of hezek re'ia, then becomes very important. So let me just take a step back and explain. So given these three, let's say, broadly speaking, perspectives, they're not mutually exclusive. And it's very possible also, it's possible that some Rishonim believe only in one. It's possible that some believe in more than one. It's also possible that different venues, right, and also different circumstances, you know, and different issues, and that's what we're talking about, you know, taking the initiative, finding, you know, being the heter, but now there being a new reality, contiguity, as opposed to intervening structures, all these issues, and there are many more. We're just, you know, very trying to identify quickly some of them, that you could be mechalek between the different factors. And that would explain also some of the differences, frankly. I alluded to this, we'll get back to it. I alluded to the, you know, discussion of Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba, you know, about, you know, Mokom She'en Bo Minag, or make Yesh Minag in the other direction. You know, because the Gemara says Gina Shiny, it sounds like the Gemara says that there's a hierarchy, that Hezek Re'ia you know, is more, even if you hold that Hezek Shein Ari Lo Shmo Hezek, when it comes to Chatzer, you know, Gina is different, because you're seeing Komas Chaveiro. That actually sounds like Eina Bisha, you know, very much. And we'll get back to it in just a second as well. So, you know, the Rabbeinu Yonah, in what he's trying to prove, says, well, you know, mid the, you know, Gina, Kol Shekein, Nishma, L'Chatzer. Because that's on the hierarchy, there's greater sensitivity to Hezekriya there than elsewhere. And the other Rishonim disagree. So, like, it's hard to understand. I mean, isn't it a Kol Shekein? I mean, the Gemara does say, but it might not be a Kol Shekein at all, because, for two reasons. Number one, you know, whether you hold Hezekriya in Chatzer may have impact on just, you know, the nature of what Hezekriya is. And that, in turn, you know, affects Gina. That's one, and these are overlapping points. Another, just an easier way to just explain it is, the Kol Shekein of Gina, you know, doesn't have to be in all aspects of Hezekriya, right? It might very well be specifically limited to, let's call it the Ayin Ra'a, you know, part. But maybe it doesn't, you know, apply to the invasion of privacy part or the, you know, limitation of usage part, etc. In which case, again, not always in the linear hierarchy, you know, there may be differences, you know, between venues and mechayvim, just as there might be differences between, you know, circumstances and conditions like we're talking about, you know, and mechayvim. Okay, so these are things to think about when you brought up the question: is there mechila? Is there mecha'a? You know, is there a chazaka? Is there an iser? Is there tashlumin? Right? How do you define tashlumin? Right? All those questions you might, you know, distinguish between perspectives 1, 2, and 3, and therefore also by different locations or some of the conditions, you know, that govern these things. Hezekriya, you know, doesn't have to be one, and but also maybe that, you know, doesn't have to be on the same level of intensity. Even if these are different factors, they may overlap, you know, in a bigger, you know, more intense, more moderate, etc. So in light of that, I just want to go back, right, and discuss a little bit more. We're almost running out of time. Some of the makoros, you know, that I had originally given you, that we were in the middle of discussing. Yeah. So just to establish a little bit the middle position and the first position. I want to establish each of the positions a little more, but just to highlight the discussion in the poskim in Simin Shin Ayin Ches, and then I'll get back because I didn't finish with the Rimigash and the others. But again, in this in the Mar Makomos that I gave you, section 2, I guess I didn't finish with 1 either yet, but we're getting there slowly, I hope. Just to discuss a little bit more, you know, some of these issues. Actually, firstly, the Rama in the end of Kuf Nun Dalid Tez Zayin, that's clearly a very important issue. One second. That was the issue, of course, of psichas chalon, let's say, beheter. Okay, so what happened there exactly? What, Noam?
A chalon was opened to a wall, and then the wall fell down.
Yeah, you opened up to a wall, right? And that's fine, obviously. There's no problem with that. The wall fell down. So basically, the psichas chalon was beheter, but now the circumstances have changed. And the question is, you know, does that matter or not, right? So the that's 2 days in the Rama, correct? Shin Ayin Ches. I'm sorry, that's not Shin Ayin Ches. That's Kufnu Dalet Hazayin. Do I have that here? You have it. Just know, I'm just, if you can read the line for a minute.
Ruben
And I was suggesting that that's not such a pashut mishnah. That I think it's important. I hope we'll have a chance to get back to that. Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. So that is an important chiluk, right? That's an important argument, and it seems to also question this shita that we already mentioned. That seems quite popular in the Rishonim, which is that Hezek Re'iyah constitutes Girei Didei. Correct? Right?
But then why would you think as a chelek if it was done by Heter?
Exactly. So that's what I want to talk about this for a second, because I think that brings up the very important perspective. Did you get a chance to look at the Piskei Tshuva? Yeah, so what did Piskei Tshuva... Number one, he says he's not sure who this Shita is. Right? And then he talks about whether or not you could say Kimbli or not. What is Kimbli, by the way?
If Kimbli says, I want to paskin like the Rush, so I can open the Chalom before you want to be playing.
Right, I want to paskin, I prove it to me that we don't paskin like the Rush, or whoever this, or the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, or, right, that's a Motzi Mechaver Levaraya issue. But in order to say Kimbli is a very fascinating issue. You have to have a Shita, as many of the poskim pointed out, not any shita, right? It has to be a shita that has a certain, gravitas, we might say. Right. I've suggested in the past that you could use, Kimbli and other things too, as a kind of gauge, of elevelo diver lakim, chayim. Like, when is a shita... as much as we are intrigued by it, when is it completely idiosyncratic, meaning no one holds that way, and therefore, it's hard to say, to give it the weight, that of Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chayim, as opposed to, something which, has stronger, substance and weight to it. There's still a method of psak, but there's kind of, there's the methodology of psak. On the one hand, there's, Elu Ve'elu, which is, gives stature even to shitos that otherwise, let's say, we, don't assign normative value to. But in terms of, Shasat Chak, in terms of things like Kimli, Tos B'Dvar Mishnah, Tos B'Shikalana, again, I want to go into all the details right now. They might be different also, but they're certainly three examples of things that that definitely seem to be overlapping, and then there are shitos that we just they're curious, but we usually don't give them that kind of weight. So does it depend on who the author of the shita is? That's the view of some poskim, if Rabbeinu Tam said it, or the Rambam said it, or Rashi said it. That's different than, some Yesh Omrim, we don't even identify, or a lesser, Talmud, in the academy of, the Balei Tosis, or something like that. So is it who? Is it how many? By the way, you have a similar, fascinating question about, about other things. Pikuach Nefesh for Yom Kippur, how many doctors? And how idiosyncratic, is the view, is vaccinating or non-vaccinating, Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim? I'm not getting into it now, but how about, wearing masks, when you're vaccinated? So, right, in other words, just like we discussed, those were here last year, and, we'll discuss it again, comes up every year some way, one way or another. When it comes to robes and chazakas and so on, there are different levels. Not every birur or hakra, is the same. And that's why sometimes we say Abshul Bar Tzarek Lebar, sometimes we say Dovashe Shematir, sometimes we say, Keneged, you know, is Chazak Isura or Motim Mechoyer Levaraya. So too, so this question of Kimli, I don't want to get into the quantum of it, but that's what he's talking about. Like, is this Rama, you know, a Kimli level Rama? Interesting question. Okay, anyways, he quotes us from what? A Tshuvah Rabbi Akiva Eiger?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a Tshuvah Rabbi Akiva Eiger, so Simon Kofan Alas, Lacha Shabir, Sham Gebar, Ledina, Demutter Lesmok, Gatef, Hadel, and the Mezak, and Era, Philo Adad, Shalala, Salka Melma, Shemosh, Eva, the Kaman, Kata Vizap, Ulina, Pichat Kaman, the four Bat Kavera, Bazeni, Radat, the Foskin, the Tsar Plistom. Ah, the Padak Mikoda, Lomat Sina Mamash, Mishaholik, Bazabin Mephurish. ויש לומר בכלון שהוא מזיקו ממש בכל יום ומתחדש עליו הנזק הנזק לא מהני סמך מקודם ואף הרמה קטה ויש לומר דגם בכלון לא המגיר דילי זולת בשעת הפתיחה מכל מקום נראה דרוב הפוסקים חוקים בזה ולא מצינו מבור דעת היש אומר אלו.
And he talks about this in Mukhi Yosef. But Agav, what he provides, first of all, that's important perspective. Authoritative, let's say, is this, or representative is this view. But Agav, he provides a very interesting, and I think a very good formulation, right, to solve the question. Namely, do you have the line, the key
yeah,
line?
Says,
you read it already.
The Ramah is the Sfarah being, the Gan Becholon lo Havi Gir Dilei Zulat Beshat Apticha. I mean, those three words are not in the Ramah, but it's
exactly. So that's an interesting perspective. Maybe because either way you have a question, which is what I think you were all asking, and that is, you know, Alaniza, you know, Laharchik, you know, is Atzmo, unless it's Gira Didei. So the question is, you know, maybe everybody has to agree it's Gira Didei. We were making, you know, much of the fact, you know, that the Orzarua, the Rabban, right, the Rimigash, the Ramban and Daphutkas, somebody mentioned, or a few other Rishonim, who say specifically that Hezek Re'iyah, like his Gira, you know, delay, right? And I was using this Ramah in a way to kind of counter that a little bit, even though he doesn't, you know, say explicitly that it's not, but he says Hezek Re'iyah, Mikri Hezek Dibimela, which certainly sounds differently. But if that's the case, so why isn't it always Alamezak, you know, Laharchek Gatsatsma? So the truth is, I think there might be other answers to that question. Especially if you think, especially if you take the view, ironically, you know, which is kind of the furthest from Gira Delay, unless that's what Gira Delay would mean, and that is the third view, the privacy view. And especially the privacy view being built on, you know, the relationship of Shekhinim, you know, to begin with. So in a way, that whole question of Alha Mazik laharchik, alanizik laharchik, you know, kind of just, you know, goes away. Because alanizik and alamazik laharchik is a mazik question, right, per se. Meaning, you know, I shouldn't do this to you, but you should, oh, you're also responsible to protect yourself. Self-defense is an expected default, you know, requirement of the, you know, people can't just, you know, claim victimhood, right? But if what we're saying is that the whole yesod of Hezek Re'iyah, right, is my obligation, it's not really a again, we call it Hezek, and it definitely has some of the properties of Chepsa Shel Nezek at the end of the day, because that's part of the Kiddush, just like the Rambam's Poshea Kemazik does. Rambam saying, you know, Poshea Kemazik isn't just a melitza for the Rambam. It's to explain a chiddush, right? Namely, that avadim, shtaros, karkos, which are mufka, midinei shmira, are chayiv b'pshias shomrachina. Right? That's a chiddush din of the Rambam. Right? Maybe also the Rimigash, but, you know, of the, that the Rambam certainly made famous. So, you know, by the same token, you know, we're treating Hezek Re'iyah, you know, it's not a melitza b'alma when we say Hezek Re'iyah, Shema Hezek. It's not just a way of saying don't do it, or you have to go out of your way not to do it. It also imposes economic outlays, right? And surely that's significant. Like, why do you have to dig deep into your bank account and pay for this wall? Right. So at the end of the day, what we are saying on some level, and that's why we're using this phrase, it's not an objective mazik, even just given the circumstances, right? It is it's a perspective, you know, which, you know, kind of elevates the obligation and therefore turns into a kind of mazik. And that's why it always remains. I think all these three have that potential character. Namely that, you know, even once we are mekabel the chiddush, that they don't perfectly, you know, integrate, or they don't necessarily perfectly integrate, we'll call it that. What I would say is, you know, that the first two are more likely integratable than the third, you know, but the first two, you know, because they're built on things that are not obvious, as we've discussed, you know, are not fully integratable. And the third, you know, which is the most, let's say, Yoredeya rooted or anchored, you know, of the three, of course, is the least, you know, obviously integratable. But at the end of the day, we're still calling it Hezekiah. We're still putting, you know, economic consequences. It's still being dealt with in the end of the day in Choshev Mishpat, right? In the Rambam, it's actually in Hilchos, you know, Shekhinim. So that's also Choshev Mishpat, you know, but maybe there's a but. So if that's the case, what we might say is that the whole, an answer to the question might be that, you know, you don't need to say Giri Didei. The whole point is that it's Einol Anizak Laharchik, because, you know, it's call it its weakness is its strength. You know, just as its strength is also its weakness. Right. Its strength is its weakness in that it isn't necessarily going to be integratable fully into the world of Mazik. Its weakness is its strength in that, yeah, it's based on a chiyuv kind of lifnim mishuras hadin, whatever you want to call it, of Kedushas Yisrael or Shechinim, you know, etc. And therefore, you're right. You know, if it was a pure dollars and cents, you know, mazik issue, you know, then in Ochanami we'd say Al Hanizik L'Harchik Etz Atzmo. But we don't say that because, you know, Bilam correctly, you know, in, you know, inspired by the Rabboni Sholem's Nevuah, you know, put a, you know, identified, you know, something very critical about Klal Yisrael and maybe even about Tzelem Elokim. Certainly about Kedushas Yisrael. And in the end of the day, that doesn't, you know, go according to the standards of L'Harchik, you know, Al Hanizik L'Harchik. That's the whole point. He doesn't have to here. It's a right. It's a different kind of a right. It's a right that has to do with, you know, his persona, his Kedusha. When the Ramban calls this, you know, Kabbalah, you know, in a way, you could say that also. It's not, you know, if it's Kabbalah, and when the Rajba mentioned, we'll formulate this, but I think I mentioned, and some of you brought it up to me and showed it to me correctly, that when the Rajba and the Tshuva and also the Rama, you know, speak about the lack of Chazaka or lack of Mechila, because they say that Hezekiah's Harehu Bishum, anybody, who showed me the language? Was it? O'Kyle, you have that language? Gedaran Shel Yisrael, right? Yeah. What does that mean? You know. So the Ramban, again, each Lashon is different, but each Lashon is amazing, like, and inspiring. But for the Ramban to call it Chabala, you know, to say it's Kitru Besakise is bad is, you know, is enough. It's a personal soul. To say Kol Shukain, to say that it's Chabala, and to speak even more. You know, but, you know, the Rajba, the Rama, saying, It's Gedaron Shel Yisrael. You don't have Bailin to be Mochel, you know, a core aspect of Kedushas Yisrael. That's an amazing idea. So, you know, that doesn't need Allah Mazik Lahazik, Allah Nizik Lahazik. That's a whole different. So that's an approach. That doesn't mean that Hezekiah is considered David Demimela, and it doesn't necessarily mean that if it starts Behater, I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to. Like, what would be the alternatives to saying Gira, Gira Didei, or Gira Delay? But that's not what Rabbi Kivegar, or what the Pesachei Tshuva, right, is suggesting. What he's saying is, No. There is a gira delay here, right, Noam? But the gira delay is not the re'iya. It's the psichas hakalom, correct?
Like a chesed shel iser kind of thing.
What?
Like a chesed shel iser? Like that's the.
I don't know. No, I would say follow. I think this is a really interesting question, and it's again totally connected to what we've been discussing, and that is, when you look at problems of hezek re'iya are you know, on one level, you know, slosasuru achrei, you know, einechem, you know, I mean it here as a melitza. And the question of histaklus, and you know, on an Easter level, sure, certainly, you look at it in terms of the re'iya, and certainly, you know, the vulnerability to re'iya is the issue, whatever of the three, you know, broadly speaking, you know, talk themes that we're talking about is the issue, right? However, it also comes about, you know, by virtue of a, you know, of an act of some sort, right? Or of a standing relationship, you know, on the border, or, you know, whether it's actually the border or you know, some sort of neighborly, you know, interaction. So this is an interesting question in general. When I, let's take the case that we're talking about, psichas hakalom. Right, so that's what initiates or makes vulnerable, you know, in a classic case, I open up a window and now I can see into the chatzar of my neighbor. Right? So typically, if the focus is on, you know, the hezek re'iya as a mazik, so open up the window isn't an assault. Opening up a window is the hechetimtzi, right, which now, you know, makes you vulnerable to my assault, or which makes possible my assault. But maybe that's not the way to look. And the more you look at hezek re'iya, you know, as the re'iya itself, in other words, avapisha in bomanish, but you know, yesh bomanish, or doesn't need to have manish, you know, depending on these three perspectives. So then that's a correct way to look at it. Meaning the, you know, the architectural thing, or the window opening, or whatever it was, or knocking down that wall, you know, like Reagan-esque, you know, cadences, you know, in the background, knock down that wall. So the point is that, you know, it's a hechetimtzi, right? It's an interesting question, even if you look at it that way. So to what extent is that action, if there is an action, you know, have the status of like a Maisa Hezek or think something like that. However, the more you downplay the re'iya, right, the easier it is, if you're looking for something, for a real Maisa, you know, a Maisa Hezek, right, it's the Psichas HaKalon. Or it's the binyan abayis, Pesach keneged Pesach, Chalon keneged Chalon. Or it's the refusal, that makes it more passive, but that's part of the problem, to build the wall. So I think what he's really saying is the gira d'day here, now again, if it wasn't for the fact that, you know, the hezek re'iya, shma hezek, then we wouldn't consider psichas chalon as something that I do in my own property. Right, I'm not trespassing, right? But the consequences is it makes you, you know, vulnerable, psychologically vulnerable, materially, you know, diminished, you know, it, or just, you know, or even spiritually, you know, damaged. But at the end of the day, if it isn't, so hezek re'iya certainly has to be something. But what you might say is that the real gira d'day, if you need a gira d'day, is the psichas hakalon. But then if you do the psichas hakalon beheter gamor, right, then, you know, that's not gira d'day. You know, unless, like, that would be an interesting question. Let's say you opened up a, you know, let's say you had a wobbly wall, you know, or the wall, you know, is, you know, has a certain, you know, life expectancy. We have some, you know, I don't think we'll get to it today because we probably have to stop, but, you know, the Russia's question also, you know. You know, when people are, you know, can you force somebody to put up a more sturdy wall? Right, and what's that all about? So it's an interesting question to, again, the case of the, you know, that's being discussed here is a case where, you know, it presumably, or let's say the best case, is a case where, you know, there was a, you know, some sort of an onus, you know, something completely unexpected. It wasn't like, you know, structured in and built in. So there was zero, you know, there wasn't suffic hezekri, even, you know, la'asid lavo. You know, this doesn't have to be. So there was heter gadmor, there was no problem. And all of a sudden there's a mimela hezekri. Is it hezekri ever mimela? So that's what we're saying. The ri'iya might be mimela, right? It's usually the psichas hakalom, but here the psichas hakalom is the heter gadmor. But what will happen in a situation where, you know, right now, there's at the moment that the when you do the pe'ula of psichas hakalom, there's no hezekriya, you know, but there might be, and there could be gradations of that. That would be an interesting question. Yeah.
Hey. So, if that's true for the Yishon us, then why would the Rosh argue on that? Because we said it's clear for Rosh that he also cares about, and he's not feeling vulnerable. That's why he
Why would anybody argue with that? Well, I mean, it's still arguable. You could still say that, you know, you could still say that there's enough gira didei, you know, in the re'iya, or you could say, well, you go imil salam afreya, you know.
The key.
Say again.
Because he makes the chilek, and he himself says that neither that if it was a bias.
You talking about the Russian in
Oh,
Well, I'm not. I mean, because right now you're making him vulnerable through your you know, or right now you have an obligation to make him feel secure. I'm not sure why. I still think it's a chiddush to. I'm basically suggesting two reasons why you cannot call Hezek Re'ia Gira Delay and still explain why there's no problem of Alan Nizak Lahar. Right?
But I'm saying, is there a way to make the Nizak feel vulnerable if it was asked to
Hezek? I mean, right now he's feeling. Why aren't you still obligated to. You're saying, in the Rosh's case, so now. The you know a hurricane came or a flood or a you know lightning destroyed the wall. Okay, but so now you're looking from your home into his property. So wouldn't you still be obligated to protect him? Or aren't you still now shooting daggers at him? Or aren't you now? I'm not understanding. Why is that hard to understand? Yeah. Oh, you're saying about the other case.
But based on that,
you mean the other one? Miu imhaya bayis matzik. 1 second. Vayigam kein shel. Which bothers you? Vayigam kein shel Ruvain? The other one.
Yeah.
Oh, shel acher.
Yeah.
Sheyiro miosa bayis l'shus chaveiro. V'nafal. 1 second. Odekach roa. But right, isn't he right now the only one who? Oh, you're saying because he, the other fellow. No, maybe that means maybe the. I think that's because he's saying that all we care about is the nizak. The nizak is already not, or has been mevater, on this level of protection from monetary hezek or psychological. You know, I mean, but it's not new. It's not made right. So the point is, it's not giri. Whatever allow. Why wasn't it giri? Meaning, that you're already assuming And this is an issue in the Rosh in general, for even for the Ramban, there might be different levels, as I was saying before. You're already assuming that despite Gira Didei, that there can be some sort of a chazaka, right? If there's Mechila, right? Meaning it isn't like the Ramban characterized it, you know, as Chaval. Again, there are 2 days in the Rosh about that in the beginning of the Masechta, which will also in the Marma Kabbalah that I'll get to. Maybe not today, but when we pick up with this when we come back. But once that is the case, what that means is that for this Nizak, right, he's decided, he's able to determine, you know, that this is either only economic and he's mochel, or that, you know, even if it's more gedoran, even if it's more personal, that, you know, that doesn't apply to him. So from a Chefta Shel Nezek point of view, right, there's no problem. So it's not Gira Didei. I hear what you're asking now. But this is a very important point. It's not Gira Didei unless there's the Kpeda of Tzniusa of some sort. And by the way, I think that also explains what otherwise would be problems for some of the other Rishonim, such as the Mordechai and the Ravon, which I'll get to in a minute as well. All right? But I hear what you're asking. Okay. So that's one. The other one, I just wanted to get in terms of the Shulchan Aruch, and then I want to go back to the Rimaganash of the others, is this very fascinating yeah.
Also, the Kisne Tshuva seems to be extending the Yesh Balkim to the Shulchan Aruch case.
Say that again?
To the Shulchan Aruch case.
Yeah.
Which is very different than the Shulchan Harash's case.
You could be Michalik, if that's what you're saying.
Right. I wasn't sure when the Ramah's Agish Kolkim was going on the whole sinning, or just the part that the Ramah's quoting already.
I thought it was on the... I'll look at it again, but I thought it was on the Ramah part. But I hear. Let me think about that. Before we get to that, let me just... Because I want to get this in. Shin Ayin Ches Dalet. Go ahead, Noam, if you don't mind. So that is very fascinating too, but let's just go back a little bit in terms of the Koros. This is fascinating from a number of points of view, but I just want to build up, you know, question of the relationship between, you know, I guess one and two in particular. This is Shin Ayin Ches. What is Shin Ayin Ches?
This came out?
No, Hilchos Hazikin. Not only Niskei Mamon, but right, okay, also Niskei Mamon, which begins with Osir L'Hazik Mamon Chaveiro, right? V'im Hizik Apal Pi She'ino Nena Chayv L'Shalem Nezek Shalem, right? The Isir L'Hazik. Okay. As I mentioned the other day when I was talking about, like in Hezekria and in Niskei Shcheinim, right? Even, let's say, Pashea Kemazik, you know, would you violate, like, if there is an Isur L'Hazik, would you violate it? You know, and what does that even mean? Right? So actually, you know, we have a gift here in the Torah, and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch both speak about, you know, Isur L'Hazik. Again, you know, hearkening back to those who were here in the Bava Kamma days, you know, that was part of our Hakdama, that we pointed out that the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch are both very... you know, very explicit, you know, whereas a lot of other mefarshim are not. So this is Hilchos Hazikin, Osir L'Hazik, Mamon Chaveiro, and it's Osir L'Hazik, Mamon Chaveiro, that's how it starts off. Okay. What's interesting then is Halacha Hey. Noam? Yeah. So of course that's based on the Argamara, right? Based on the base, the Gina, and he says, you know, afilu biriyasa. I mean, you might think this is davar shein b'mamish, or it doesn't qualify, right? But that's also part of the Issa. Right? That answers our question. We were wondering, like, right? Hezek al yidei riya is included in the Issa, even if there is an Issa l'hazik, that's included, right? Actually. Back in the day, in our Hakdamas of Bava Kamma, I was actually, you know, trying to be a little contrarian, and I thought there were some Rishonim who hold this way, that actually there might be a case to make that there's a greater Issa L'Hazik, you know, in things like Grumma, or where the chefta shel nezek is less obvious, you know, than in other cases, and especially in cases where maybe you're patur, or if you're chayiv, you're chayiv, you know, because of other factors. The reason being, like on the one hand, of course, the more normal approach is, you know, to say, you know, if there's a hierarchy of mazikim, then the ones that are most intense and most acute, right, are also, you know, most egregious, right? So if I damage you, you know, explicitly, you know, that's much worse than damaging you subtly, you know, and if I damage you directly, I should be, you know, over the iser more so than if I cause you grumma, especially if you're pator or hezek shein nikar. However, from another point of view, right, you know, you could argue the opposite, and that is that, again, the strength is the weakness and the weakness is the strength, in that, kind of similar to what we just said about hezek riyah, in that if you're dealing with, like, you know, quid pro quo, you don't need an iser. You know, I took $100 from you by burning down your barn. Of course I have to pay you back. And, you know, is that usur? It's certainly not nice, but, you know, it's all about money. I'm not saying this is the case. I'm saying this might be the case. Whereas, if I cause you a $100 loss and I don't even have to pay for it, or if the only reason I have to pay for it, not because of the quid pro quo, from that point of view, it wouldn't qualify. It's because, you know, even though there's not enough there, it's still particularly egregious what I did, you know, so it's kind of like a knas d'oraisa that corresponds to your loss. Or maybe if you don't pay at all, grumma, you know, like how devious and dastardly, right, is that, you know, like I'm soreif shtarosav shel chaver. They say, ha ha, you know, I'll give you the, you know, the nickel for the piece of paper, you know, and now the guy has no, you know, he has no shtar chov, right? How evil is that? That's terrible. So that's where you need these. Anyway, that aside. So this is particularly an interesting question, you know, about hezek riyah. If hezek riyah was lo shma hezek, maybe there'd be an iser. Also, of course, if hezek riyah is shma hezek, that's more and less of a reason to be an iser. But either way, there's no Gemara that actually says, I mean, the Gemara says, Osir l'adam lamod al sadeh chaver b'shah shomed es b'kom oseha. Right, that's, you know, we're familiar with, that's our Gemara. But, you know, is that under the rubric of Osir l'hazik? Right? What's fascinating about the Shulchan Aruch is that afilu b'riyasa, this is Osir l'hazik mamud chaver. It's midin. You could have said that's just a an iser of ayin ra'a, you know, not necessarily a din of, you know, mazik. Well, anyways, either way, it gets written into Shulchan Aruch, not necessarily Shulchan Aruch, it's the tour, right? In the tour, it says, this halacha comes from the tour, right? Do I have the tour? Hold on 1 second. We have a couple more minutes, right? I was going to speak something about shofar, maybe I'll speak couple minutes in the end anyway, but let's see. Oh, don't tell me to bring it. That would be sad. Yeah, 1 second. Oh, okay. I think I did bring it. Oh, but not the tour part. I just have the Omer of Yehuda. Okay. This comes from the tour. Okay. What's fascinating is the smach. Okay, so I got it. What did the smart say?
He knows that he doesn't use lashon as opposed to previously.
He says, how come the language is different, or how come the example that the tour brings is this example and not the, you know, more, you know, classical, obvious examples of simin kuf nun dalid, you know, things that we typically call what? Hezek riyah, exactly. You have the line there in the smile, and this is basically what he says in the prisha, as in the drisha rather, in Shulchan Aruch as well. And he tells you to look at what he wrote in the drisha. This is os hey, right? No. what is it, 1 second? Dalit?
Yeah.
Yes, first you don't know what he's talking about, right? It takes a little while to just, like, well, what does he mean? Right? So, but what he means is exactly what you just said, or we both said. He's wondering, how come you're picking this case and not the case of you know, Shutfim, like one of whom refuses to, or somebody who opens up a chalon right into Chatzer Chaver. Why are you picking the example of, now, by the way, oh, okay, you have the parentheses there, Bedochak? Okay, so this is so interesting, right? First of all, before you even get, any further, like, what's your first? First you have, like, what's he talking about? What's he trying to say? But this is a terrific smah, right? But the first reaction you would have is, who told you? Forget about his parentheses even, because the parentheses is still working with the same assumption. What would be your muskal rishon like when you just see this? Who told you? Who told you this is different? Who told you this isn't just part and parcel and an example of the hezekria of Simen Kuf Nun Dalet? Right? Oh. And if you look at the... here's where my little scan helps. If you look at the base... I hope I have it. Ooh. Seems like I just took a bad picture. Okay. I don't know that. Well, 1 second. If you look at the Beis Yosef, Alatar, I just did a bad job. If you look at the Beis Yosef Alatar, he actually just very matter of fact. Anybody have it? David, it's up there. Okay, that can be done. Go ahead, read it. Meaning, where this sma is questioning, and the drisha in the tour is questioning, the Beis Yosef is just saying, oh, hechatimtzi of Hezekria. Even it's a big kiddush, though, right? I mean, Hezekria is also asur. Okay, the drisha here says, midivrei Beis Yosef buchach shegirsas. He says girsas svaro haya ve'amar Rabbi Yehuda. Aval achara iyun girsas svarim should be de'amar. Nechona beinai. Dehanu hadinim aniskarim haynu shelo yira lechaveiro bechatzero b'mokum sheose kama tashmishim. You have it there? The drisha? Yitzarech limnoa mi'asosa. Ki elulam chafet shechavero yira ba'asakav right uktasa b'pnei atznia v'lo shari azika b'tzaratzmo. Esha kalu chazal the shame has a griyo. K'mo shekatzav rabbeinu siman kuf nun zayin. That's the sma. So keep going in the sma. Mishum, the sham ha-ri'iya, they have it? Or shabosh mimenu, I should say. Or sheyare sheyav lehezek hasagaz gvul. We have to talk about that. Or sharin yanim kiyotzebo. Go ahead. Ba'elu mash enkin sada bekamosea. Go ahead.
Mash enkin sada bekamosea. That were in the atzma.
So
this is so fascinating. I'm Priya. So this is such a fascinating piece. So again, if you look at the Beis Yosef, you know, Beis Yosef will tell you the Tur in Shulchan Aruch has saying that just like there's an Isa L'Hazik Chavero, so too there's an Isa L'Hazik Al Yidei Hezek Riya. And what does that include? It includes Eina Bisha, and it includes Poseach Chalon, and it probably includes the refusal to build a kosel when you're supposed to, right? And that in itself is fascinating. As I say, we asked that question. We weren't sure about it. You can take it in different directions if you want, but that's still fascinating. And the Sma, both on the Tur and on the Shulchan Aruch, is, you have to kind of have this, an attitude, to begin with, here. Obviously, he, conceptually, has strong conviction, that these are two different things. That Hezek Re'ia is about, limiting or inhibiting the person in his own property, and it's an indirect, economic, loss. Whereas Eina Bisha, right, is your eyes are throwing daggers somehow spiritually or whatever, at this person's crops, right? And then again, so once you say that, of course, all bets are off. But for two things are important, basically, right? One is he's characterizing Hezek Re'ia in the middle way. That's clear. Again, I think the Rishonim that are very consistent with this. I'm just not always sure, whether that's the primary Mechayiv, and that's why what I mean a lot about the overlaps here. It could just very well be that if you could use your property anyway, if it wasn't for the factor that, you have the right to use your property any way you want, then maybe the fact that you don't have, privacy in your property, or even, take an Eina Bisha approach. Even the fact that, your Esek and your Sada is going to be vulnerable to Eina Bisha, that's your problem. So do it somewhere else. Do those things somewhere else. The answer is, but then you're limiting your property. So I can conceive, when it comes to some of the Lashonos, whether it be in the Gemara or the Rishonim, that isn't the Mechayiv, that's not why you're Chayiv for Hezek Re'ia, right? That's why Hezek Re'ia, either as privacy or as Eina Bisha, it's a necessary, factor, in giving substance to those other things. That's one of the tricky things to try to figure out, is what I'm trying to say. But here in the Sma, it's perfectly clear. I think in some of the Shonos of Rishonim, it's also pretty clear that is the Ikar Mechayiv. And it highlights that it's a kind of an indirect, factor too. At the same time, what is Eina Bisha? I'm sorry, what is, Eina Bisha, or Ayin Ra? Right, you could have thought, no, Ayin Ra, it's a Melitza. It's a way of saying, don't look at him, because then it restricts him. Because he's, clearly, the Sma is saying these are, in addition to telling you what he thinks is the Ikar Mechayev of Hezek Re'ia, he's telling you, and these are two different dinim, and they're not related at all. And then the third Chiddush is the one that, you really, didn't see. And that is, having said, right, that the reason this is here, and having depicted it as the, the Gira delay, we'll call it the Ayin, the Ein Bisha, whatever you want to call it, is a more direct attack. That's an assault. The other one is a, more of a two-step process, a grumma, your conduct, is inhibiting his usage or the value of his property, right? So so you would think that once you're going to make that point, why should you assume? I mean, im kvar az kvar, if the Sma is right about his reading of the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, and if to begin with, the idea of Isul Hazik, is not so obvious, so I would have thought that, the Hezek Atzmi, is worse. Maybe that's the only one. So that he flips it, right? But the way he flips it, of course, is so fascinating, because how does he flip it? In both places, actually, but on the tour also. But how does he flip it, David? He says, "De bezeh ike leman damar begemara, de leis bei el amidas chasidus." So number one, in the new Shulchan Aruchs, not new Shulchan Aruchs, I don't want to get accused of anything, but in the new editions of the Shulchan Aruch, so they just point out, they have. Probably it could be in some of the footnotes here also. This is the older ones. They just point out there's no Gemara that ever says, that this is Midas Chasidus, right? Again, and what does it mean? Let's clarify that point. So where does the Midas Chasidus idea come from? Tani? There he is. From? So the Tshuvas HaRambam in his exchange, one thing we have to continue to talk about, with the Chachmei Lonil, correct? And the Magen Mishnah, of course, quotes it as well. In Perek Beis, Hilchos Shcheinim Halacha Tezayin, correct? That the Rambam thinks it's Midas. By the way, is it shocker or not? That the Rambam thinks that this Gemara is Midin Midas Chasidus? Probably not. Right? Yeah. But either way, the idea that it's both Midas Chasidus and a more direct Hezek is fascinating. But of course, if it's a spiritual attack, the idea that, that it could be more direct and also be, less actionable, it kind of crystallizes, everything that is, intriguing, about this perspective, in a way, right? Because it's both more. Remember, I said the other day, if you take the leap, even though we don't understand this, this is what it is, then it's really mazik begufo, right? And in a way, it's midas chasidus. He's saying something. He thinks you can have. Again, the Rambam didn't say this. The Rambam didn't say that it's midas chasidus, but it's in some respects more direct and worse. Okay, we'll talk about the Rambam, but obviously the Rambam is less into this whole idea, as an independent idea. Good. Anyway, so the Bikitsur, just to sum up, you have this really interesting line in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Turin Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef understood that it applies to all Hezek Riyah, and we're applying the Isul Hazik. The issue of Isul Hazik, to begin with, as I mentioned, is something that, is a little bit tricky, in that, you'd think the more serious, substantive, the more Iser, and I think most people think that, but you also might end up thinking the opposite. Then you have this Drisha in the Tur, Sma, and Shulchan Aruch, disagreeing with the Beis Yosef and the Pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, Beis Yosef is the Shulchan Aruch, of course, and distinguishing between, Eda Bisha, we'll call it, and classic Hezek Riyah, assuming that even if the Shulchan Aruch is Sma saying, even if it applies to both, they're still two different dinim, right? But he himself doesn't think it applies to both, and his suggestion that one is direct and the other is indirect, that one is direct assault, and the other one is inhibition, and therefore, diminishing the value of the property, or at least causing a loss by inhibiting the usage of the property. Okay, So, and then in terms of, you know, the what impact that has in terms of Iser, and, you know, and the fact of Midas Kasidus. So having said that, just to go back, I think Tani pointed this out to me the other day, but I was going to mention it. Anyway, right, Tani, you want to mention it? The Rabban's language?
Yeah.
Right. If you look at the Rabban, I'm going to stop in a minute and just say two things quickly about just a perspective on Shofar again. But if you look at the Rabban here in the beginning of Baba, you have language?
Yeah.
Especially in all light of this. I mean, I'm going backwards, the Rabban, but just to juxtapose them so we have a greater appreciation of what's going on a little bit. So, you know, I mentioned the Or Zeruah, the Rabban, the Rimigash, and then you have some of the, you know, later, you know, Chachmei Svarad, you know, the Ramban, and so on, who have this view of you know, Gira Didei. So it's just particularly interesting in light of that, and that's why, you know, it's Alha Mazik Laharchik, not Alha Nizik Laharchik. I suggested two alternatives to that just now. But it's very interesting the way that that the Rabban formulates. So go ahead, Tani, if you don't mind. You have the question. What's the Ikasha?
Yeah, the Ikasha Omer Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel. What's the Kriviyosi Omer on the end of Arkham Zatam? How come the Ayah Lamazit? Current so Omer Rabbi Kriviyosi the Giri Delay, the Hezek Riyaso, Giri Delay, and then Shemazik the Riyaso, the Ena Bisha Mikla Kali, Parakamafkid.
The Ena Bisha Mikla Kali, the Parakamafkid. Hilkak Olav Laharchik Azatam. So what do you make of that? What's the point? But he's not saying, I mean, again, it's not, you know, he's not distinguishing between, you know, two types of Hezek Ha'ayin, Hezek Re'iyah, and this Halacha, right? But he's actually invoking, right, in order to explain Giridilei doesn't mean kum va'ase for him, right? Not on the Psichas HaChalon, and not in the, you know, Re'iyah. It's more, this is what I said the other day, right, it's Eina Bisha that Mikla Kali. Correct? And actually the person who, Devlitsky, who put out this newer edition of the Rabban, he points out that, you know, number one, the other Rishonim, who, you know, who use this phrase, do not add specifically Eina Bisha. So the Rabbeinu Hosef Echidesh, which is a, I just switched over to the new one, but this always bothered me. The Chidesh Hezek Riyahu Mishum Eina Bisha. But he says, that's very interesting. The Dvar of Tzorech Talmud, after Kol Hezek Riyah Karuch Eina Bisha? Right? That's an interesting question. He's making a broader statement about Hezek Riyah. So all Hezek Riyah is, you know, the eyes are daggers, or is that only in, you know, Kamas Chavero and, you know, Dabar Nistar and, you know, those kind of very specific, which is what the Sma is. The Sma is something that's two completely different data. What the parameters are, I'm not sure, but, you know, the Rabban is saying, yeah, Gira Delay, it's Midin, you know, Mazik, Atzmo, Begufo, 100%. But it sounds like he's saying it applies throughout. So he's, that, it's just, the, you know, it's like Siach Lepitum, like what, all Hezek Riyah is that? Od Kashim, Medab Beis, Amad Beis, the Gemara says Hezek Riyah Lav Shmei Hezek. So, you know, what about Gina? The Gemara says, Gina Shaini, etc. Mashma, the Lovakal Hezek Riyah Yesh Mishum Ayin Hara. Of course, that's not the only way to read the Gemara. You know, you could read the Gemara that way, but the Gemara is saying Gina Shaini, you know, it's Eina Bisha, right? Or you could say the Eina Bisha of Kama and those things is more obvious, you know, than the Eina Bisha of, you know, of just you know, being you know, the object of somebody's you know, gratuitous, you know, attention, whatever that is, right? But it's just interesting. And then this is just I'm just using this as a kind of a foil for the Rabban. You know, again, we have other Makoros like this. And going back to the question that I mentioned before about the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba, right? Is it all just like, you know, it's all Ein Abisha, and that's a particularly acute example of it, and there are lesser examples of it which are more controversial, whether they really qualify as daggers, you know, coming out of your eyes. You know, that's what's going on? Or no, there are two different ideas of Hezekiah. You know, the Gina is more Ein Abisha, but if you hold Hezekiah Shema Hezek, you don't even need to go there. Or maybe that's a side halacha. Maybe there's like a more core basic idea. But that more core basic idea, maybe it's even more in the Chatzah than it is in Gina. Depending on whether it's a Makom, you know, Pratius, you know, more or not. But I'm saying these highlight, you know, the some of the issues. So it's also interesting to note that when the Rimigash says what he says, that he says it on the above and base. I'm going to have to stop. It's really not right. So let me just get this point in, and then we will continue. I still have to talk about the Mordechai and the Rabban and the Rush, and then the other Mar Makomos on this page, and then we'll start going straight and then filling in the gaps. That would be the goal. But it's interesting that the Rajba asks the question on Vav Amud Beis. And, you know, so again, whoever put out the Rimigash, when he says Gira Delay. So again, in this printed one here, he just, you know, raises the question, but I've seen this in other iterations as well. And that's why ask the question here on the above and base, right? Why not ask it on the base? And the truth is, the Rabban does ask it on the base, and the Orzarua asks it on the base, right? What's the difference? So, the suggestion that some of the Achronim make is that you might have said on the base that the base is not. At least the gira, the problem on the base is not a direct or an exclusive problem of Hezekiah, right? Because there's another factor on the base, right? And that is the issue of Chalukas HaShutvim. And this is something we need to consider more generally. Right? What is the relationship on the base, in other words, in, you know, Shushtim Shechilku, and certainly the Gemara is connecting it to, you know, the obligation, the kfiyah, to build the Kosel, is certainly connected to Hezekiah, no question about that. Right? But is there another factor, you know, an addition, or that gives added, dimension, you know, to even the Hezekiah? And that is that we're dealing with a Chalukas HaShutvim. So there's also a question of, you know, they're breaking up their partnership, and the question is, who's responsible for what? Right. Just as Moshe Lamad Abar Domeh, right, I'm making the suggestion that, you know, Harchokas Sezakin in general, and possibly Hezekiah as well, possibly even more, or not, have to do with, you know, like a framework, a background, you know, of Shechinim. Right? And that, the expectation of Shechinim, you know, that changes the equation, you know, in its own right, or it makes more acute or amplifies, you know, as the case may be, you know, certain issues. It can turn Shabbat Tasses into Kumbases, it can expand things, you know, etc. So too, right, the reality of Chalukas, the context of Chalukas HaShutvim, you know, can be a relevant factor. Now, what does that have to do with Hezekiah? This he doesn't explain. So he only says here, the guy, I don't know who this comes from, an interesting ha'ara. Again, the Rimigash says what he says. about, you know, Shiny has a Gria de Gira de Day. So he says, you know, Tema. Azeo Mukrach ni Masis and Dashutfe. The bonus are called Sabem, so Mishun has a Gria. So he says, Asher Mukrach, the Masis and Lav, Midin Hachakas Nezakin, Umishim Gira de Day. Kiim Hilchas Chalukas Ashutfin. Lachalik Benayu, Bili has a Gria. Leman Domar, Shmei has a. They have to divide up their property. Right? So part of that, you know, now the question is, like, who, you know, what are the parameters of that division? You know? And, you know, if Hezek Ria, Shmei Hezek, you know, then it should be done in a way where there'll be no, you know, Hezek Ria. So even if you were to say, you know, Al Ha Nizak Laharchik, you know, Atzmo, you know, Min HaNezakim, because Hezek Ria is not Giri delay, you know, that's when you have, you know, just two, you know, people. I wouldn't say they're unrelated because they're still, you know, neighbors in some respects, although not necessarily contiguous neighbors. You know, so you have two neighbors. So he said that's the pshat. You know, v'rak la'abaya shekol echad osa begago hu mehosar kol kas nezak in the sila kazeka mishum giri today. But, you know, when it comes to Chalukas HaShutfim, and the question is, you know, just what's the best, what's part of the Hezder, the arrangement, you know, between them, you know, that's a different matter. I think that's a very good ha'ara. I think there are other echoes if that is the case, that's an additional element. But of course, what I want to amplify, which he is saying implicitly, is that, so you might have said that Svara. Well, there are two things. Number one, the Kamash Malan is what? You know, the Kamash Malan can be one of two things. The Kamash Malan is in Akanami, there are two different dinim. Right? One is a din of Harkakas Nezikin, you know, when there's no Chalukas HaShutfas, and it's just a straight out issue. And as far as that's concerned, you need Gira Delay. In Akanami, you know, in the Kosel, you don't. And maybe they are really two different dinim, and maybe there are other aspects, other nafkamina, other, you know, indications, echoes, you know, that Chalukas HaShutfin has, the Hezder of Chalukas HaShutfin has its own properties. Or no, the Kamash Malan is that it's all one and the same. Certainly in the Arzarua, and in the Ravan, right, and so on, you know, it's the Gira Delay is being applied to Chalukas HaShutfin. So, you know, that's because Chalukas HaShutfin is just, you know, there's no additional aspect of it, or even if there would, it wouldn't apply if there wasn't also an aspect of Gira Delay. Right? But by the same token, one could have said, and this is the additional point I want to make, you know, once you're, you know, even whether it's as a Havamina or even as a Maskana, making this distinction, right, you could have said, oh, well, you know, if it's a din on Chalukas HaShutfin and not a din on Harchakas Nezakin, so then, you know, why does it have to be, according to the Mandamar, Hezek Ria Shema Hezek? Right, even if Hezek Ria is Lo Shema Hezek, right? You know, but still, they're dividing up the property. You know, the appropriate thing would be to do it in a way which is sensitive to the needs of both, right? The answer is, of course, and it's not so obvious. I think he could have said that. It would go against the Gemara, right? But, you know, the explanation is, if Hezek Re'iya Legamri Lo Shema Hezek, you know, if it doesn't have a chalos of being, you know, a legal, you know, requirement in any condition, let's say when you initiate it, right, then, you know, then it wouldn't be part of Chalukas HaShutfin either. I don't think that has to be true, but I think that's the conclusion. And maybe for the other Rishonim, they're going further, and they're saying if it wasn't Gira Delay, right, never mind, you know, Shmei Hezek, you know, then it wouldn't be part of Chalukas HaShutfin. Or they're just saying that it's not a din, Chalukas HaShutfin. Okay. So these are very important principles. you know, alongside with this goes the question of the other line in the Rebbe Gash, which I want to conclude with. And that is, again, anybody wants to go, go. I'm just sorry, because this is our last year before Rosh Hashanah, so I just want to say 5 minutes. The Rebbe Gash makes this ha'ara. Anybody can find it for me? Shema Mino Dabaya or something?
Is it 2 lines before that?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Right? Even though... No, no, so that's fine. But I thought he also has... That's the introduction to here. Right? One second. Right, where's the line where he has that even if there is, that you see from the Sugya on Heyomid Beis, on Vomid Beis, that even if there's a tremendous amount of distance and you have all sorts of other things in between, oh, here. Mehod Abaye Shamina and Demand Boy Lemiftach Chalonos of Lushus Arabim, the Isbe Hezek Re'ia, Al Chatzah Shal Chavero, Afagav the Rushus Arabim Kamnifsiki, Vein Chalonos of Lachatzah Chavero, Dino Hu Dema'ake Vale, Vilamotze Hechelememar, Rushus Arabim Ka Patachna, the Hochem Rushus Arabim Kamafsik, Apil Hochi Ka Amar, Zeosamake Vichule. Right? That's earlier in the piece. Ah. So that Havamina, I thought that's also, there's a tshuva the Gaonim about that as well. And I think that's very relevant to what we were talking about in the, you know, the Yesh Omrim of the Rama. Right. In the Yesh Omrim of the Rama, at least the way the Rabbi Kineger, the Pesachei Tshuva, was understanding it, was what? That the Mechayiv is the Psichas HaChalom. Right? Not that that's a Hechatimtzi for the... You know, for the Re'iya. And as I said, the more you think the Re'iya is kind of, you know, amorphous, and a Dabar Shembo Mamish, you know, the easier it is to say something like that. So that would be an explanation, at least of this Havamina. I mean, the question is, do we have any echoes of this being true, even the Maskana? Maybe this is kind of a little bit, this Rama is a little bit it. Right? Not completely, because it's a much more extreme case. You know, let's say I'm opening, you know, I'm opening my chalon to Rosh Hashanah. Maybe that's not good enough because is Rosh Hashanah a chalos vis-a-vis other people? Let's say I'm primarily opening my chalon to my neighbor, you know, me, Reuven, Shimon. Levi, you know, is even further away, right? I have an agreement with Shimon. So again, the more you see Hezek Re'iya, you know, as, you know, effect-oriented, or the Re'iya itself, you know, being, you know, the actual factor, it shouldn't make a difference. It's not even as a Havim. Who cares, right? If I have, whatever it is, a magnifying glass or a microscope or whatever it is, you know, and I can see, you know, or I have, you know, night, whatever they call it, scope, things, and whatever it is, you know, at the end of the day, who cares? The important thing is that you've invaded this person's privacy, you know, both in terms of your action and its effect, or its psychological effect, its actual effect, etc. But the more we think, you know, either that this is pretty amorphous, you know, like, you know, he's has to limit his behavior for that guy, or that the oser really is the physical, you know, action of not building the fence, of opening up the window, you know, etc. They can say, oh, that's mitzuraf, you know, to what's to assuming you can say that that's mitzuraf to what's primarily, you know, intervening, or more so, you could still argue, still say, when you open up your window, you're attacking, not just attacking Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a good reason to neutralize in its own right, as I said. You know, or you're not just attacking, the first private property, or even somebody else's first private property. You know, it's you're doing all these things at the same time. Or not? Maybe that isn't true. And especially if it's less of a, let's say it's less of a re'iyah, so then you can make that argument. But that would depend on some of the issues that we discussed. Okay, let's stop here. There's still more to talk about the rushes and this question of miktas, sada hakol, and then all the others, marmakomos. We'll continue with that.